Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Luke and chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 6. We'll be reading and looking at two verses in Luke chapter 6 this morning. Verses 37 and 38. For context, we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and we'll read through verse 38. Beginning in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, hear now the word of God. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, we have heard your word. We know this is your word to us, your people. And now open our hearts and give us understanding as we think about these things, and help us to be those who do not judge, who do not condemn, but who are quick to forgive and to give to others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A host of reality shows have popped up in recent years, and many of these have to do with singing or dancing or magic tricks. Whatever it is that they have to deal with, the principle and the idea behind these shows is that a person will come, will enter and go up on the stage and be judged for their performance. Now, some of these performances are really pretty good, and others are just plain awful. When I see those performances, those ones that are just awful, I cringe. I cringe and I think about what the judges are going to say to that person. I start to feel bad for the person. But somewhere deep inside of me, I must admit that I am glad. I'm glad that they are up there and not me. That they are the ones who are going to be judged and not me. And I think that is true of all of us. We would rather be the one judging than the one who is being judged. Is that true of you? Do you find it easier to judge others than to be judged? Are you very critical of others, but very easy on yourself? Are you always pointing out the faults of others, but minimizing and excusing your own? In other words, are you a judgmental person? Are you a judgmental person? The truth is that we can all fall into that trap of being a judgmental person, of becoming very negative and very critical in the way that we treat others. And when we do so, we really forget. We forget that we are in the same boat with everyone else. We forget that apart from Jesus Christ, we are all judged and condemned by God. You and I need to hear these words. These words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do not judge, do not condemn, because we so often fail to obey them. We need to swap out our judgmental and our condemning attitudes with forgiving and giving ones. So we come to Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. Recall that Jesus is speaking now to his 12 apostles, to his other disciples, and to a crowd of people, many of whom that he has healed. In verses 20 through 26, Jesus has presented the picture of life in the kingdom. It is a life that we might call one of blessed difficulty. Yes, you may be poor. Yes, you may hunger. Yes, you may be persecuted. But you are blessed. And Jesus goes on in verses 27 through 36, and he teaches his followers and us that we must respond during these difficult times with love to everyone. Love is the kingdom response no matter how we are treated. And the reason that we are to respond in love is because we are God's people. And God is merciful. God is loving. God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. How can we be any less? Now here in verses 37 and 38, our text for this morning, Jesus continues to show us what it looks like to be merciful, particularly stressing the fact that mercy demands that we do not judge or condemn others. And before we look at the text, I want to address a common misconception about these words, judge not or do not judge. Perhaps you've heard someone use this argument. The Bible says don't judge, so don't judge me. The Bible says don't judge, so don't judge me. When you hear this argument, what people often mean to say is, you have to let me do whatever I want to do without saying anything about it, because if you say anything about it at all, you are judging me. Well, that is not what Jesus is talking about here. The Greek word that is here translated to judge, as it's used in the context here, means to judge harshly, to judge self-righteously, to judge without mercy, to judge without love, to judge in a way that is overly critical of people, in a way that we might call becoming prejudiced against others, judging them without cause. Do not do that, Jesus says. Instead, you need to do something else. Instead of judging and condemning others, you must forgive and give to others. We see here in verses 37 and 38 then that you as a Christian must replace that desire that you're going to have, that sinful desire to be critical of others, with the desire to be charitable toward others. You must replace the desire to be critical of others with a desire to be charitable to others. And I want to look at two things with you from these verses. First, I want you to know that it is not your job to be critical of others. It's not your job to be critical of others. Indeed, it is your job to be charitable to others. So first, let's look at the reality that it is not your job to be critical of others. It's not your job to be critical of others because this job is already taken. It's already filled. God is the judge. You do not need to judge and condemn others. If they are outside of Christ, the Bible tells us in John 3:18 that they are already condemned. If they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are condemned already. The Bible also tells us if their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then there is no condemnation for them. Romans 8:1, those who are in Christ Jesus face no condemnation. Judging and condemning need to be left to someone who is able to do it, and that is God. It is God's prerogative to judge ultimately. It is, as we're told in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit's job. John chapter 16, in verse 8, Jesus, speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit, tells us that when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. It is the Holy Spirit's job to judge. Now, sometimes we may need to bring out the truth of God's Word. But how do we do that? How do we do that without being judgmental or condemning? Well, here's my advice. Do not, when you approach someone who is in sin, do not say, what you're doing is wrong. Do not come at them with that. Rather, approach them in this way. Ask them to look at the Bible with you. Say, come and look at the Bible. Let's see what God says about this. What you want to do is you want to redirect that person away from arguing against you and point them to God, because it is God who they have to deal with, not you. You point them to the Word of God and you trust the Holy Spirit of God to do the convicting for you. It's not your job because the position is already filled. It's also not your job because it is too difficult for you to do. It is difficult because in our sin, we are prone to judge by the wrong standard. That's why it's important to know the Word of God. That is the only standard by which we can judge anything. But we are prone to judge by a wrong standard. We are also prone to judge with the wrong motive. When we come to an individual who is caught in sin, the motive ought to be love, ought to be that we would see them free of that sin. We often then come out of a motive of self-righteousness, and when we do this, it will breed in us an arrogant attitude. And what will happen is over time, you will start to see others as beyond God's reach. It's important to understand that a critical attitude does not begin with your words, but it begins with your heart. In fact, if you are a critical person, if you are constantly criticizing others, that began in your heart long ago. Your mouth is just now catching up. Criticism comes out of the heart. You'll be prone to judge with the wrong motive. You'll also be prone to judge in the wrong timing. Remember growing up, I had in my room a picture, and on this picture were the words, "Be patient, God isn't finished with me yet." How true that is. I am so thankful that in my teenage years, God wasn't finished with me yet, because if He finished with me there, it would have been very bad for me. I am so thankful that even in my 20s, God was not finished with me yet, and I'm thankful today that God is not finished with me yet. The danger is, if you judge someone now based upon what you see, you're not taking into account that God is still at work in their lives. You do not know what God is going to do. You do not know if this person is now a Saul but is going to become a Paul. Remember that Saul, before he was called to the gospel ministry, was the one who held onto the cloaks of those who were stoning Stephen. Now, Stephen didn't look at Saul and say, "God, punish him, judge him." Stephen said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it was out of that prayer then that Saul, that wicked persecutor of the church, became Paul, that great apostle. God wasn't finished with Saul. He knew he was going to be Paul. God isn't finished with those we know. God is not finished with you. You do not know what the future holds. Do not judge ahead of the time. How do you know if you are being a critical person? Let me give you this test. If you're going to say or do anything, run it through these three questions. One, ask yourself, is what you are going to say or do untrue? If it's not based in the truth, don't say it. Is it unhelpful? Maybe what you are going to say is true, but it's not going to be helpful to anyone. Don't say it. And finally, is it unkind? If what you're going to say may be true and may be helpful to say, if the way that you say it is not out of love, don't say it. These are the three U's, the three questions. Is it untrue, unhelpful, or unkind? If it's any of those, don't say it. It is being critical of others. And it's not your job to be critical of others. It's not your job to be critical of others because the position is already filled by God. He is the one who judges. It is not your job to be critical of others because it is too difficult for you. You will judge with the wrong motive, standard, and timing. But it is also not your job because it is too dangerous for you. Notice what Jesus says here. Verse 37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. When you judge another person, you find fault with them. And when you judge, then you end up condemning the other person. To judge is to find fault with them, and to condemn them is to pass sentence upon them. And we do this all the time. We find fault with others, and then after we judge them, after we determine in our minds that they have done something to us, that they have sinned against us, and maybe they have, we move on to the sentencing phase. We move on to the condemnation. Maybe a husband is offended at his wife, and so he stops talking to her. Maybe a friend is offended by another friend, and so they keep them at an arm's length. We seek to punish others because of what they have done or what we perceive that they have done to us. But here's what Jesus brings out. When you judge others and when you condemn others, by that same measure, we read in verse 38, it will be measured back to you. In other words, the same standard that you use to judge others and that you use to condemn others will be the standard by which you are judged and you are condemned, both by men and by God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, we're told that if we do not forgive those who sin against us, God will not forgive us. When you condemn other people, you will be condemned by the same standard. David, that great king of Israel, learned this the hard way. In 2 Samuel, in chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, David has sinned with Bathsheba. He's had Uriah killed, and Nathan the prophet comes to him. And he tells him this story of a man, a rich man, who had many sheep, who went and took one single sheep from a poor man. This little lamb that this poor man loved, and he took it and he killed it and he offered it to a guest. David was incensed and he judged, even though he judged rightly. He judged and he condemned this man, and Nathan turned the tables on him. And he said, by the same standard, so you also have been judged and are under condemnation. And David responded in the right way. He understood that he deserved the same thing. That same judgment and that same condemnation. And so the best way that I know to avoid being a critical person, to avoid being judgmental and condemning, is to remember that you are no different. You are no different than the one you are seeking to judge and to condemn. You must remember where you have come from. 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we stop at the end of verse 10 and we say, yes, absolutely, of course, those people won't inherit the kingdom of God, we miss Paul's point. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. And you would still be there, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You're no different than those you seek to judge and condemn, except that in God's timing, you have received mercy. Don't forget where you have come from. And also, don't forget that you will stand before the same judge. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and beginning in verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Don't forget where you came from. Such were some of you. Don't forget where you are headed. You will stand before the same judge. Don't be a judgmental and a condemning person. Don't criticize others. You must replace those critical judgments with charitable judgments, with loving judgments. You must remember that when you are ready to cast the stone of criticism, that you also live in a glass house. It's not your job to be critical of others, but it is your job to be charitable to others. And that's what Jesus goes on to tell us. After he tells us what not to do, judge not, condemn not, he tells us what to do, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Your job is to be a forgiver. The word here, translated as forgive, is to release. You are to release others from any debt that they owe you. They sin against you. You are to forgive them. They are not to owe you anything. And notice that Jesus gives no qualifiers here. There's no ifs or buts when it comes to forgiveness. Jesus doesn't say, forgive them, but only if they do this. Or forgive them, but don't forgive these people. No ifs or buts when it comes to forgiveness. In fact, failing to forgive a person is to condemn them. Because you are saying that they are outside the place where they can receive mercy from you and from God. But the reason that we are able as Christians to forgive others, never forget this. The only reason that we are able to truly forgive others is because we have been forgiven ourselves. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The forgiveness that we have received from Christ is the reason that we can forgive others. So your job is to be charitable to others by being a forgiver. But you are not simply to forgive and forget. You may have heard that phrase, forgive and forget. Well, the Bible goes one step further. It says, don't forgive and forget, but forgive and get busy giving to others. Your job is to go beyond forgiveness. Notice, Jesus goes on in verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Forgiveness is being willing to take something that someone else has done to you. But giving is paying back, not in kind, not lashing out at them, but by giving good to them. We are not only to forgive others for the harm that they have caused us, but we are to give good back to them. Isn't this what God does for us? Yes, God forgives us of all of our sins in Christ Jesus. But he doesn't stop there. He gives to us abundantly. And we see that picture here. Jesus describes it in these terms. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. We have to understand a bit about markets at this time and in this place. You'd go to a market to buy grain, and you would bring a sack, and whoever was selling this grain would fill your sack, and they would fill it halfway. Then they would press it down. Then they would fill it again. Then they would shake it to get that grain to go down and to compress. They would press it down again. They would shake it together so that you got your money's worth. But here Jesus brings out a greater picture of God's giving to us. Here's what he says that we will receive from God. We will receive not only good measure, pressed down and shaken together, but it will be running over. The picture here is someone who has a sack. It's been pressed down. It's been shaken. You can't fit anymore. And yet the merchant keeps pouring grain into the sack, and it is overflowing, and it is spilling down, and it is being caught in the folds of your robe. This is how God deals with us. But God does deal with us. God will deal with you, and God will deal with me. He deals with us individually. Jesus tells us here that if you are a judgmental and a condemning person, then that is the treatment that you can expect from others and from God. But if you are a forgiving and a giving person, then that is the treatment that you can expect from others and from God. We need to be forgiving and giving people, because the great and glorious outpouring of God's good gifts to us will be those that not only are given in good measure, pressed down and shaken together, but they are running over, overflowing. One commentator says that God doesn't just give symmetrically, He gives abundantly. In other words, God doesn't just give us a one-for-one return when we give. He gives us in His and out of His abundance. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to criticize others, because it is easier to judge others than to look at your own sin. But the commands of Jesus here in Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38 are clear. He says, "Do not judge. Do not condemn." Being a judgmental and a condemning person and criticizing others has no place at all in the Christian life. No place at all. Rather, that attitude and those actions must be replaced with a charitable spirit, one that is forgiving and giving to others. So this is what I want to challenge you with as we think about these things. I want you to look at your own life and how you treat others. Do you find yourself thinking in your heart or saying things with your mouth, things that are untrue, unhelpful, or unkind? More often than you think or say things that are true, helpful, and kind? Do you find yourself being very critical of others but very easy on yourself? Or always pointing out the faults of others and going easy on yourself, excusing your own faults? If this is true of you, then you need to change. You need a change in your life. You need to become less critical of others and more charitable toward others. But by God's grace, you can do this, because those who have been forgiven will be those who forgive. Those who have been given of God's abundant grace will be those who give from God's abundant grace. If you have been critical of others, if you have been judgmental and condemning, then now is the time to think of who you need to talk to, who you need to seek forgiveness from, for treating them in a way that is contrary to who you are called to be as a Christian. This is not going to be easy, but it is the right thing to do. And I pray that God will give us all the strength and the wisdom to be charitable in all that we do. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we confess that we are often a critical people. We find it so easy to judge others, and yet we fail to judge our own hearts. Forgive us for where we have failed in this. Help us to learn from our Savior here how to be those who are forgiving. And not only those who are forgiving, but those who go beyond forgiving and give to others. For You have forgiven us of such great a debt. You have given us of the abundance of Your grace and mercy. How can we do any less to others? Now, work this in our hearts by Your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.